phone. Don't need no speedy, gotta get me home. Don't need no nothing. Welcome to Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm Cynthia Fernandez, your host for this hour. On this show, we focus on real-life experiences and perspectives of the folks on the Central Coast of California. You know, people ask me how this show came about, and actually it came about in the bookstore. So here is how it went. I see a lot of people in the bookstore, and I've been there a dozen years or so, and I encounter people from all over the place. I mean, really, all over the place. Over and over and over, I watch people come through the store and only be looking for the celebrity-related book, or maybe the Oprah pick, or some expert, author. And I think to myself, gosh, what about people following their own curiosity and following their own interests? And I just really felt like society is gravitating more and more to of an iconic culture where we just really don't look below the surface. And I thought a show like this where people share their own personal experiences might actually help a listener or an audience to remember their own story and the value and wisdom of their own life experience, and that they might be in a better position to recognize that in another person as well. So here I am. And never underestimate the power of your own thoughts. I want to mention that the archives of this show, Simple Life Radio, are updated each day after the show as podcasts on the internet, and the location is simpleliferadio.podbean.com. If you'd like to email me, you can send a message or a guest idea or a comment. Send that email to simplelife@pilgrimsway.com. The show is sponsored in part by the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, located in downtown Carmel by the Sea. And Carmel is known for being a pet-friendly town, or even a dog town, nation over. In the restaurants, there are doggy tables where you can take your dog to join you at the restaurant, and even doggy menus. It's not uncommon to see adults pushing strollers or carrying purses with doggies in them. And there are doggy clothing stores with complete outfits, including shoes and jewelry. Well, our guest today, Adrian Herman, set up a shop as a dog therapist. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Cynthia. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
I'm so glad that you're here. I have a lot of curiosity about being a dog therapist. Can you tell us what that actually means or what that is?
My goals are probably twofold. One is to help people understand, humans understand their four-leggeds better than they currently do. And they often come in with questions, and we have so many rescue dogs in our area that particularly people with rescues like to know where their dog has been before the dog got to them. That happens quite frequently. Other people want to know how to optimize the well-being of their pet. What is the pet's asking? What is the pet looking for? Are they doing things that make this creature as fulfilled as possible?
So very caring parents, it sounds like.
Caring parents are the people who come to me, yes, because they're looking for even more answers than they already possess.
So it sounds like you actually work with these doggy parents and help them understand behavioral issues or needs of their animals.
Oftentimes there are behavioral issues, sometimes physical issues.
Uh-huh.
So the other aspect of what I do is strive for the most balance possible. We, I think, as beings generally look to be as balanced as we can in many areas. So my second goal is to see dogs become as balanced as possible. And unlike people, the dogs don't want to hold on to their old stuff as much as people do.
I've heard that before, that animals are actually very open, and where people tend more often to be guarded.
Right.
Animals certainly are discerning, but
right.
They're not as guarded.
And they're a little quicker to let go of their stuff.
Their stuff.
Yeah.
So they really want to move on.
They seek balance as much as we do, but for them, oftentimes it's easier to find.
With
a little help.
How did you know that you wanted to be a dog therapist?
I don't know that I did know I wanted to be a dog therapist.
And yet here you are.
I think that's, how did you know you would be a radio host of the utmost ability? So I think it's something that evolved over time. Of course, I always had passion for other species, always, and for nature, but particularly for other species. And my first experiences were with dogs. So that has developed over time into, I think, a pretty clear understanding of dogs per se. And then I'm always surprised because I'll find that other species have things to say to me as well. I had no idea, but I discovered that I could listen in on bunny thoughts.
Really?
Yeah, and I was surprised to learn that about a month ago.
And what did you hear? What bunny was...
Oh, you will love this. This is actually sort of a potty story. I hope we can keep it clean.
Yes, please.
Yes. So, Diva Bunny, Diva Bunny's mom said that Diva Bunny was not using her litter box. All of a sudden, for absolutely no apparent reason, she refused to use her litter box, which was making a lot of problem for the household generally. And Diva Bunny had something, and I have yet to physically meet Diva Bunny.
Okay.
But I said, okay, let me see if I can tune in on her. And tuned in on Diva Bunny, who said, I hate the color of my litter box. Further proving herself to be a true diva, she said, I want a gold litter box.
Uh-huh.
And her mom and I scratched our heads and said, oh my goodness, I don't think either of us have ever seen gold litter boxes, you know, because they're like kitty litter boxes.
That's right.
And they're silver or they're, you know, metallic color or they're a couple of shades of green they
yes,
come in.
I
red,
have one of those.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Cranberry, a couple of shades of blue. Nobody has yellow, but nothing
gold.
Really gold.
Yeah.
So I said, well, just, you know, put it out there to the world. Maybe it will manifest itself. On your way home, stop by the pet store and see if there's one there. So she texted me from the pet store with a picture of what appeared to be an almost gold-shaded litter box, which she then took home, gave to Diva Bunny, who instantly did her business where she was supposed to.
Without sequins.
Without, surprisingly, no sequins added. Maybe that's the next step, is to add some sequins in a tiara or something.
Well, I would have never guessed something like that would make a difference for an animal.
Isn't that goofy? So
yeah.
You just never know.
Now, you mentioned having experiences early on with animals. Can you share anything?
My first dog, I got my first dog when I was 5. And in those days, dogs were supposed to stay outside and they weren't really supposed to be members of, I'm very old, and they weren't supposed to be, in those days, members of the family. They were supposed to have a job and stay outside. They
with a dog house and sometimes on a chain.
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
Exactly. Ours was backyard and dog house,
yes.
No chain.
Okay.
And this was a little rat terrier type dog, which looks like a fox terrier minus the extra long snout, and about that size. And this dog just became my very, very best friend in the universe, and somehow would escape the yard and find me on the school playground or in my classroom repeatedly. And, you know, we just had an amazing relationship. And I think at age 5, I was a really great dog trainer because this dog could do all those goofy tricks that we used to teach dogs to do, which we don't really do very much of anymore. But we just had a very intense connection. And every subsequent dog has provided more of that same kind of connection and information and learning for me, learning experience for me. And it wasn't any particular thing. And I don't think there was ever a time when a light bulb went off and I said, oh, I know what your thoughts are. I don't think that really ever happened with my own creatures. It was more of a gradual, just an understanding. I think it's a lot like, I think we all have this ability to understand without words.
Would that be like empathy? Where you can empath another's feelings?
Perhaps. It's partly that. But my ex-husband, who was a total non-believer in just about anything, believed that we all have, he said, we must all have some sort of empathic ability or, I don't even know what you call it, ESP-ish kind of sense. Otherwise, we'd all be crashing into each other with our cars because somebody will not signal that they're going to turn.
And you get this feeling.
And you have a feeling, yeah. So you slow down, right?
That's
otherwise,
right.
Who knows? It would be chaos out there. So we must pick up on something from other beings, whether we acknowledge it or not consciously.
Yeah.
So I think that's more what happened. And then as I got older, I learned more and more. And have gotten to this place where I know that I can connect with other beings on this level.
And what's the most satisfying aspect of your work?
Oh, absolutely. Seeing more balanced dogs, happier dogs.
Uh-huh.
Or other creatures and their humans. Oftentimes just telling their story makes them feel better. It's like people, if you go to a people talk therapist, you know, if you go to a psychologist for a while and you're telling your story, hopefully you feel better. Oftentimes just from telling the story.
Well, you feel validated and you feel heard.
Heard, exactly.
And hearing, you know, having that story be of value to someone else, that they honor it and respect it and care.
Right.
Makes a shift.
Exactly.
It makes a shift.
I should tell you about one of my very special four-legged clients who wanted to be invisible.
Okay.
He wanted to not be seen by anybody. He would have preferred to have seriously just been invisible. And he was a rescue guy. And he was able to tell me his story, which was a very ugly, sad story, which I will not tell here.
Okay.
But just from telling his story, he felt so much better. And his person was also very, very intuitive, and after he told his story to me, she asked her dog why he hadn't told the story to her. And the dog said because he didn't want her to be sad.
Aww.
But once the story was told, and with the help of a couple of flower essences, I think is what we use, some vibrational therapy, so that he could get beyond the sadness and the pain of the past and move forward into a better life. He became anything but invisible, and he's now the guardian of the household. And
wow.
And he's this wonderful, wonderful, gorgeous dog.
That's amazing. I love that you work with rescue animals. It always warms my heart when I see on Facebook or anywhere else people who are actively working to help connect a rescue animal with a new family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have such wonderful rescue groups here.
Yeah, we sure do.
Everywhere, but particularly our couple here.
We're in studio today with Adrian Herman. If you want to know more information about Adrian's business as a dog therapist, you can visit her website, ahermandogtherapist.com. And she has a phone. Her phone number is 831-624-8000. And we're going to continue and find out more about being a dog therapist and all that that entails as soon as we get back. This is Simple Life. We'll be back in just a moment. Be some real focused passion What would that message be that you'd like to get out there?
I think the biggest message is one of love, of course, that please be as respectful as possible of other beings, other species, our environment, all of the above. We're all interrelated. This is our planet, it's our home, and these are fellow beings walking the path with us. So respect and love would be the two big messages, I think. And the more we keep that in mind, the better off everybody is.
Well, you bring up a really good point. It's an interesting time that we live in. I know it hasn't been that long. I mean, when you were giving your story about the dog, it hasn't been that long that we, I think, more unanimously agreed that people were what mattered and animals were a resource to be utilized in whatever way people saw fit. And I'm happy to say that that is shifted throughout the world. You know, we have a lot of people right now who dedicate their lives and their professions to a more equally respectful, humane way of operating on the planet with all living things. And it's even in our movies. I mean, we have a number of examples of entertainment subjects that really have a connection to animals. I remember Dolphin Tale,
right?
Where the dolphin, you know, because of fishermen and that sort of influence in the ocean, got tangled up in nets and she lost her tail. And of course, they can't continue to live without a tail. So a young boy connected with that animal and prosthetic was made that had never been made before. And actually, this is a true story and changed history. Forward-moving history.
Forward-moving, yes.
And issues like that. I mean, right now in the Monterey County, there's a lot of people who are very earnestly putting their efforts forth to save wild spaces in Fort Ord. You see signs all over the area. And, you know, that's a change. But it's also, it represents a change in culture to change our perspective of what counts and what doesn't. And if you look at the history of religion, for example, as religion continues to evolve, because believe it or not, I mean, many religions are relatively new. If you go back to the beginning and you continue to walk forward through that evolution of religion, the newer ones, I think the newest one that I saw on record was Baha'i, has the most tolerance for differences.
Right.
And it strikes me as a sustainable perspective. How do we collectively continue to thrive if we don't include the life of all other needs on the planet? I mean, like you said, we share the planet. And I just think that it's encouraging to be here. It's a little bit confusing to be here in this time in history. But the work that you do is part of that shift of culture.
Yes, I was going to say paradigm shift. I think we're in the midst of one, and I think what you're talking about exemplifies that perfectly. This concept of connectivity, and that humans are not the end-all and be-all, and that we are just one more animal. And it's kind of one of my little bugaboos that people say people, and then there's the animal kingdom, not that we are part of it, and we are part of it. So yeah, that's a piece of it. But the connectivity and understanding how valuable our open spaces are, how valuable our oceans are. Mm. National Geographic just ran their opening show last night on Saving Otter 501.
I remember seeing that a couple years ago.
No, you saw a different one.
Okay,
this
different
is a brand
otter.
New one.
Okay.
This is a brand new one. It's a lovely show, and I'm sure it will be seen again, so look for it on Nat Geo Wild.
Okay.
I think that's where they're airing it, but it's a beautiful show, and it's all about our local aquarium and their otter project.
Where they adopt otters that have been abandoned in the wild and then work with them and actually work with the goal of re-releasing them back into the wild.
Exactly. Their goal is not to make tame otters who go out there and survive but just use up resources. Rather, they want those otters to become integrated into the wild population again so that they can breed and enlarge the population, this slightly endangered population.
You know, I really admire that about the aquarium. They are such a large influence in this area, and they don't just basically collect maimed or abandoned wildlife in the marine area for the purposes of entertaining the public that come to the aquarium. Their goal is to rehabilitate and release, and only those that would not survive in the wild are there for us to see and play with.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a remarkable organization. We're so fortunate they're right here in our backyard.
You know, I should mention, a few years back, Paul and I were invited to go to the aquarium to hear an author present, and I can't remember his name, but the name of the title of the book is The Death and Life of Monterey Bay. If you haven't looked at that, Adrian, I think you might like it. He went back through history and basically took us through a tour of Cannery Row in the Monterey area in terms of what we now call a marine sanctuary and how it was basically a toxic dump with canning factories building their buildings over the ocean with slatted floors so that all the skin, heads, guts, whatever would fall through those floors every single day. It was such a boon industry that the Del Monte Hotel in Monterey would have guests complaining and leaving because the stench was so bad.
Right.
And now Monterey Bay is considered the exemplary model of how to regenerate a marine environment. And this guy, I wish I could remember his name, is hired out to other countries around the world to help them learn how to, basically regenerate their areas and bring it back to a more natural balance.
What a lovely goal. So here we as voters have an option too to see if we're going to keep Fort Ord open space open so that all those critters who need to cross through those pathways that are currently open and available to them will remain able to do so. And if we go ahead and do all the development that might happen then and the racetrack, then that means those animals aren't going to be able to make their natural way in the world and will be jeopardized. So,
yeah, that's the special election, I believe, scheduled for November 5th. Is
yes,
that right?
It's yeah. our upcoming election.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, I was happy to see that come forward. So, before we move off of the doc therapist topic, Adrian, I wanted to find out if you had any book recommendations for people who are interested in becoming more familiar, more aware of their animals in this way.
I should have looked at my bookshelf before I came over here, shouldn't I?
I'm sorry, I didn't give you my questions ahead of time. We do have a book in the store called Through a Dog's Ear. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Of course. You have it because I asked you
to carry
it.
Oh, that's right.
So Through a Dog's Ear, and you're also carrying, I think, 4 of the CDs that go with
yes.
Through a Dog's Ear. These are marvelous, and I urge you to run into Pilgrim's Way and pick one of these up, or two of them, for your pups at home. There's a lot of research behind these. A woman who was a classical pianist noticed that all of her dogs would collect under the piano when she played. So she got together with an audiologist. They did a lot of studies and found that there was a certain calming effect and kind of a resetting of the brain that occurred if they played classical music on the piano in a slightly slowed down pace, with a slightly simplified form. So it's music you might recognize, but it's not precisely the notes that you would play if you were following the
original.
The original.
Yeah.
So it works, and it's wonderful. And I see this time and time again. I tend to play this most of the time with my clients in my office, and dogs who are not settling down just all of a sudden just relax and are calm, and it's a great thing to try. So yes, recommend that one for sure. There are quite a few books out there about doggy communication and animal communication. I'm pretty sure you have a few of those in the store. And then there's Stephen Farmer's Earth Magic, which I think is a fabulous book for anyone interested in this kind of communication.
You know, there's also one CD, I was going to ask you about this, that's for cats.
Yes.
And we haven't spoken about cats. Do you work with other animals or just dogs?
I do. I have worked with cats. Cats are different to work with than dogs, whereas dogs will generally lie down and hang out with me for 45 minutes or an hour. The cats aren't as likely to do that. So they tend to kind of come in, go out, come in, go out. And it's interesting because they'll connect with me, but they'll do it kind of tentatively.
Uh-huh.
So they'll come in, and then they find they like it. So they keep disappearing and coming back for slightly longer times when they come back.
Much more aloof, though.
A little more distant, but still a lot of good things can come of that. I worked with one kitty who, this was, I keep telling you rescue stories. This is another rescue story. One of our local rescues, AFRP, had a little kitty they called me in to see if I could help out with. And this kitty was the cutest little black cat, but you couldn't tell that because it was hiding under its bed.
Aww.
And would not come out. And if they did physically take this kitty out, it would just, at the slightest sound of anything or anybody appearing, it would run. So they couldn't put it out on the adoption floor. And we work with that kitty, and she turned around with the help of some essential oils. So it wasn't, in that case, as much telling her story as just getting things a little more in balance for her.
Mm.
Actually, not her, it was a him, getting him more in balance. And then within a few days, I think about 7 days, he was able to go out on the floor and get adopted. So that was wonderful. The next time I visited him, he was, he came out of the cage on his own. The door was open, and he came out and rubbed against my legs and jumped up on my lap, and everyone said that's what he was now doing with everybody. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, so there are things we can do with kitties, too.
Now, you mentioned essential oils, and it was pointed out to me recently that you have to be really cautious using essential oils with cats.
Yes.
Do you have...
Oh, you know what? It wasn't essential oils with the kitty. It was flower essences.
Okay,
I'm glad
mild.
You caught me on that. Yes,
yeah.
Big correction. Yeah, essential oils, very, very cautious with cats. Yeah.
Their makeup is different. Their
it
filter
is.
Organs are very different.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct.
And have you worked with horses? Because those are really big in this area.
I have worked with horses, not as much as with the other critters, but yes, I have worked with horses.
Works pretty much the same?
It's sort of the same cross species, yes. Lately, it's been mostly spiders talking to me. I don't know about that one. I start wondering about me the more the spiders talk to me.
And the work that you do, does it work with humans?
I used to work with humans. I've decided I prefer working with four-leggeds or some two-leggeds, non-human two-leggeds. But what I do involves working with humans
as
well.
Yes, of course, the parents of these lovely creatures.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm remembering back, I actually first met you in the bookstore and got to know you through Sustainable Carmel.
Right.
You want to tell us a little bit about what the goals are for Sustainable Carmel? If anybody listening doesn't know about them, they might want to know.
Sustainable Carmel, of course, is concerned with helping Carmel, the town of Carmel, to become as sustainable as possible, meaning go into the future with as much caring about our community and its resources as we can make happen. And this means beach cleanup and proper disposal of trash and limiting how much trash there is. And one of the biggest accomplishments of Sustainable Carmel thus far, which has only been around for a couple of years, by the way, is the plastic bag ban in Carmel. Did I say that?
Yes.
Plastic bag ban in Carmel.
The ban of plastic bags
there
in Carmel.
There we go. So
that was quite an accomplishment,
by the
way.
That was a huge accomplishment.
And wasn't there also something about styrofoam containers from restaurants?
That was, I believe, a law that was passed, city law. They're both city laws now.
Came about at different times.
They came about at different times, and the styrofoam, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe that came about a little before Sustainable Carmel, so we pushed hard for that as well.
Yeah. And so is there a way people can find out where the meetings are if they want to take part in the group?
Absolutely.
Or any events?
Sustainable Carmel meets every third Tuesday at Cypress Inn Conference Room at 7 o'clock in the evening, and you are all welcome to attend whenever you like. We have an upcoming event next week, and if you check, let's see, where can you check our Facebook site, Sustainable Carmel Face on Facebook, you can learn more about this or check in with Eco Carmel, and they can also give you more information about this upcoming event, which will be Tama Oliver, who is an amazingly well-spoken person and took Al Gore's course in the environment.
Yeah.
And she'll be speaking on global warming.
Okay.
And that's next week,
next Tuesday. Excellent. We're going to take our last and final break. This is Cynthia Fernandez with you on Simple Life, and our guest today, Adrian Herman, a dog therapist. We'll be right back.
Dog since puppyhood. And you've done training, and you're still in the process of doing training, but the dog is highly reactive with even people who've been coming to the house for, like, since before the dog was even living with you. What can you do, and could it potentially be a mental disorder that might need medication, or what does she suggest?
So your question, Michelle, if I've got this right, is if you have a dog that has kind of a behavioral issue and doesn't really settle down, could it be a mental disorder?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you talking about settling down, Michelle?
As far as the dog is aggressive, we use the term reactive, but the dog is aggressive.
So this dog's reactive to both people and other animals?
Oh, yeah. People he's known since he was 8 weeks old, and also the dogs he lives with.
This is sounding... And you've gone to a behaviorist, or no?
We've done a lot of training.
You've done training. Well, there are all these different categories of people who work with dogs. So there are trainers who teach you how to train dogs to behave in certain ways in certain situations. And then there are behaviorists who are really analyzing a dog's behavior and giving you tools so that you know how to react and act in ways that don't promote that particular behavior or do promote better behaviors. So those are a couple of things that happen that are different with behaviorists than they are with trainers. I am neither a behaviorist nor a trainer. What I do is work on balancing the dogs. And this dog sounds like he or she is pretty out of balance. So what I would want to do is try and achieve more physical, emotional balance with that dog, energetic balance too, and get the dog's story and find out what's going on. And even if it is a from birth thing, there are ways to change behaviors.
So what would you suggest for Michelle as a next action point?
Come see me in my office.
There you go.
That doesn't give you, I don't know if that, two things. Give me a call off the air and I can give you a couple of suggestions for different therapies that might help.
So I'll have Adrienne's phone number on the podcast, which I'll be posting as soon as the show's over today.
Well, thank you, Cynthia.
Hope that helps, Michelle.
Thank you, Adrienne. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. So if you want to give a call, looks like we have another caller. Our number, 831-899-5792. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Thank you. Hi, Adrienne and Cynthia. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
Hello. I have a question for Adrienne that I hope you find interesting. I wondered if, since you know, you were mentioning that the paradigm shift that we're in this animal phenomenon. I have a beautiful daughter that always connected with animals. Anyway, she's, let's say she's near 30. She just, she has a degree in, anyway, environmental stuff. Anyway, she worked for an environmental consulting firm, let's say, to save the earth, and it didn't work out. She didn't want to help Chevron destroy it. Anyway, now she's kind of in a new place because she became, she just moved into the city from the, being a ski boarder, you know, and got married, and they're looking for jobs, and I want her to start her own career. She's very creative, but she has an amazing canny with animals ability, and she has she rescued a pit bull, and this dog is just everything to her, and she has three cats, and well, anyway, you know the story. The one cat she wanted to give away. Anyway, I'm going on to
so she's very connected with the animal world.
Yeah, and she just kept back from this amazing wedding in Africa, and her big dream was to go to Botswana. Cynthia, get a kick out of this. On her honeymoon, instead of going to a fancy hotel, she wanted to go to Botswana on a, you know, a real safari and for the wild dogs.
Right.
And I told her, yeah, and she wanted to see the wild dogs because they're still there. And she goes, well, I want to see them before they're gone.
Right.
And I told her, well, don't worry, honey. They're anxious to see you too. They had this amazing experience with these two packs of wild dogs that was like a really unreal experience that doesn't usually happen. The tour guides are saying, I don't know. There was this like dog fight, but it turns out, she said, all hell broke loose because the packs didn't hurt each other. They just scared each other off. I said, oh, you mean the dogs, you could hear dogs killing each other? She goes, no, they don't do that. So she said they actually support each other. It's interesting. And I just wondered if you believe that there is a career involved for her, because she really is good with animals.
Absolutely.
Don't you think there's an open field for all kinds of things in this time we're in, this paradigm shift in every area?
Oh, boy, I sure do. Yeah. So Adrienne, what would that be as a suggestion? What can her daughter pursue in terms of careers?
Well, what I pick up with her is there's so much need in so many of the sanctuaries in Africa, particularly, where they need people. They just need people, and that would be such a great place for her to start if she's willing to actually relocate do that.
Yeah, I don't think her mom wants her to go that far.
You don't want her to move to Africa? You want her to stay
well,
right
I did
here.
Suggest it at one point. I said, you might want to stay there, but I don't really want her to know.
So she wants to stay here, and she's very interested in working.
Well, you know, we have problems here in this country with animals.
We
go ahead. I
mean, yes.
People, look at all the... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I'm just concerned about all the... I was talking to her last night, and I didn't want to scare her, but I mean, I'm on Facebook, and I just see an awful lot of wonderful pictures of dogs and animals and different breeds, interbreeds connecting. But then I also see all these...
You know what my suggestion would be for you?
Policemen that are killing dogs.
My suggestion for you, for her, for first step would be to just go and do some volunteer work with any of the local shelters. There's the horse shelter, there's the SPCA, there are local cat and dog shelters. And just start there and get a feel for what's needed in the area and then go from there. And take a couple of courses.
That's a great idea. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's Paula, right?
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, okay,
Paula.
Bye.
Well, good questions out there. And you know, I was going to ask you with Halloween coming if you had any horror stories, but I think I'm going to rephrase that to challenges in your line of work, and they may not be limited to four-leggeds.
Let me think about that. With Halloween particularly, we have lots of people coming to the door and in lots of homes. So I think in those cases, the best thing to do is to make sure if you have a dog who does react a lot whenever the doorbell rings, try going to Pilgrim's Way, picking up one of those CDs, and play it for your dog in the other room so that the dog doesn't need to respond to every doorbell ring. That would be my first choice of what to do about Halloween. If your dog loves meeting everybody at the door, then great, go ahead.
Have you, Adrian, had any surprises doing the work you do? I mean, have you learned a lot about yourself or other people as a result of the work?
I think there's a surprise every moment of every... I love what I do. I never know who's going to walk in the door or what their issues will be, and they always have something to teach me, every single person who enters. This morning, I had lovely people and dog come into the office, and they are just so connected, and they've been around together a couple of lifetimes, we are absolutely certain, and the dog showed me a couple pictures of that, which was really quite wonderful and made everybody happy and taught me a little bit about a different country and a different time of life.
Well, I'm noticing on your website, which if anybody out there listening wants to jot this down, her website is ahermandogtherapist.com. You have a couple of testimonies listed on your website, and one of them says, Adrian Herman is a truly gifted being. She is restoring emotional health and bringing joy and peace to our canine companions. And another one says, I guess there's a story about Portia, who I believe is a pit bull.
No, actually, Portia's a little Shih Tzu.
Okay. Portia shared her feelings and needs with Adrian. This has given her more security and confidence. I can now be a better provider, friend, and she feels loved and heard. And there are plenty of other stories on her website. And I'm not doing this as a plug, but I like to round out the perspective that my guests bring to the show and be able to provide that for the audience now. But before we run out of time, Adrian, I want to find out from you what your favorite book of all time is.
That is such a hard question to limit my favorite book to one book. So I don't know that I can do that. If I
What's the first thing that pops in your mind?
The first one that pops to my mind is actually Earth Magic at the moment, because it's just so prominent in my mind. So that's a lovely one by Stephen Farmer. But there are actually Teddy Kennedy's biography is quite terrific. Autobiography. I like that one a lot as one of my all-time inspirational books. And what else? Let's see. I better stop there.
What are you reading now?
You're going to love this. We have a very gifted screenwriter in the community. His name is Mark Oman, and he asked me to read his screenplay for his upcoming book, which has to do with doggy communication.
Amazing. So amazing.
Did I say book? Not book, script.
Script, yes.
But that is what I'm reading at the moment.
Wow. So that's what you're spending your evenings before sleep doing.
Exactly. And it's so much fun. I hope it gets made into a local movie and brings a lot of business our way to our community and is a great success.
I want to share with you all, if I can pull this off, a clip from a documentary called The Animal Communicator, because it's so on topic, and just kind of give you a heads up about it. So let's see if this works.
And then a unique opportunity presented itself. In the course of my work, I had come across the story of Jörg Olsen, an ex-policeman turned conservationist. Jörg and his wife Karin set up the Jukani Predator Park. Here, many big cats rescued from bad zoos and canned hunting farms are offered a home and get lifetime care. Jörg has a remarkable relationship with his cats, and he handles them in a way I have seldom seen before. There was one big cat here that he did not know what to do with. This black leopard, called Diablo, had been rescued from a European zoo.
So that is an interesting clip. It doesn't tell you the part I was hoping that it would, which is this woman whose voice you heard sat with that black leopard and had a what you couldn't see as a conversation, but she had a conversation with it. And she tells the care people that it's asking about two cubs that it was missing. And sure enough, they had forgotten that there were these two cubs. So our show today is all about connecting with other species and remembering that we all share this space, and we want to be able to do that in a good way and for a very long time. So I want to thank my guest, Adrian Herman, for being with us today. Thank you so much.
And thank you for having me here, Cynthia.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here with you all, and I will be here with you again next Saturday. Our guest next week is a gentleman who works with sustainable landscape, edible landscape, things like that, very green option. So I'm excited to have him on the show. I want to learn all about that because I think that's something I'd like to do. And I should mention that we also have Dan Millman, if you know the guy who wrote The Peaceful Warrior, scheduled to be on Simple Life Radio on November the 9th and then in the bookstore November 22nd for a book signing. So mark that on your calendars. And until then, I hope you're all well and you're enjoying the remains of our wonderful weather and keeping your life simple and enjoyable. Take care. Zabba dab, zabba dab, zabba dab, zabba dab, zabba dab, zabba dab.